Good evening to everybody. Again, thank you so much for coming out for another year of preparing for the Seder. Mr. Kamenetsky said everything I have to say about what a parent's role is in regards to the Seder versus a child's role. People have heard my diatribe about that as well, and my essays in the Haggadah as well that talks about my personal feelings about how schools and homes should approach the Seder. What I want to do tonight, as I've done in the past, probably a decade at this point, is I want to discuss challah and nirtza, because challah and nirtza are often slept through or rushed through, and there's a lack of appreciation for what the end of the Seder is supposed to be. And I want to share a number of ideas, new ideas, different ideas, from new Haggadahs, old Haggadahs, that I think perhaps one can take with them to enhance the end of challah and nirtza and to have a greater appreciation for the recitation of challah and those very interesting, magical poems that we have at the end of the Haggadah. Let's begin in the Hallel. V'yarog malachim adirim ki li'olam chaser. That Hashem killed great and mighty kings because His kindness is forever. Happened to be that both ideas I'm about to share right now, I saw in the new edition of the Haggadah Shel Pesach Minchas Asher from Rav Asher Weiss that was published this year. Happens to be that both ideas that Rav Asher Weiss said also are independently found in an old Haggadah of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, one of the Talmidim of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. They both say a similar idea on both ideas we're going to explain, and they're both, I think, the ideas that I chose this evening are relevant particular to the time that we're in, and feelings of gullus, feelings of gula, and feelings of oppression surrounding us throughout the world. Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver both explain that what is the idea of malachim adirim, that Hashem kills, Hashem takes out great and mighty kings. The Minchas Asher quotes a Kli Yakar. I'll share with you a Kli Yakar in Shmos on the Pasuk of Ashir Lashem Ki Gaga Sus V'Rachvo Rama V'Yav. That Hashem is mighty, Hashem is Ga'a, Hashem is mighty, and the horse and its rider He drowns into the sea. Listen to an incredible comment of the Kli Yakar. Omer ani sheyesh bo remez lamash nizbar. There is a remez, a hint here to that which it says in Eov. Maski lagayim v'yabdeim. He raises up the nations and He brings them down. K'mashe kasev, it says in Tehillim as well. Befroach rishayim k'mo esev v'yatsitzu kol po'olei avon lashmidam adei ad. Kimi shehu ga kvar. Whoever holds themselves to be mighty, to be powerful, to be on top of the world, they think that they have the media's attention. They think that they are the most powerful military they have around. As a Kadosh Baruch Hu mosif lo gaiva. Know what Hashem does with such a nation who thinks that they are the best and they are in charge? Hashem builds them up even more. And He sends them higher up the ladder. Higher up the ladder. Al gavasa v'nosim lo od maila, and more and more. Kedei lahagdil nifiloso. Because when Hashem wants them to fall, their falling will be that much more painful and that much more difficult. Mi'igra rama labira amikta. From a high place to a low valley. K'mo sheyisbar b'samach b'pasuk. He quotes a pasuk in Eov. Zeshekosav ashir l'Hashem ki ga'aga. I praise Hashem because He makes our enemies ga'a great. And He makes them higher and higher. It seems that the media is behind them. And it seems most of the world is behind them. And they are the one who are downtrodden. And we are the oppressors. The whole world is backwards. As great as Hashem makes him, He'll make even more. But in the end, do you know where those nations are going to end up? They're going to be in the sea. Drowned in the sea by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To make them go even further down. The Gemara says in Menachos, Yavo adir v'yipare la'adirim ma'adirim ba'adirim. That's a lot of times the word adir. What's going on over here? So explains the Gemara. Let the adir come. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is mighty, and let He go and v'yipare la'adirim. And He will give punishment on the adirim. Again, those people who come to attack the Jewish people who think they're mighty. Ma'adirim ba'adirim. From the adirim, those are the Egyptians, as it's written, it says that He sank them in the ground. And in the Adirim, and these are the waters, the powerful waters that drown the Egyptians. So everybody's powerful. The Jewish people are powerful, and the nations are powerful, and the water's powerful. But they are called Adirim. We see, it doesn't make any sense. Why is it fair? We're doing the right thing. We are fighting a just war. We have a just cause. We are clearly the ones who are being attacked. They are the oppressors. And the whole world is inside out, backwards, upside down. It doesn't make any sense. Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu do that? Why would Hashem run the world in such a way? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chavar, says Rabbi Asher Weiss, it's the same exact thing. He explains, I read to you from Yitzchak Isaac Chavar's Lashon. He says, it says that Hashem arranges it, L'maka malachim gedolim kililam chasto, v'yagra malachim adjim kililam chasto. And then it says, L'sichon melach ha'amori kililam chasto, u'la'og melach ha'bashan kililam chasto. Why are we highlighting those two people, those two kings, Sichon and Og? So he says, Shiyisrael ne'asru li'itol me'eretz amon b'moav, v'lekach asuhu yisbarach shesichon og natlu me'eretzam v'nikru al shmam. Hashem arranged it that these nations conquered other nations. So when Bnei Yisrael would come and conquer the final nation, we would end up with more wealth. Why is this one in charge of here, and this one's more powerful, and this one's conquering this land, and this one has this wealth? Because at the end, when they fall, it will all fall to us, and we'll be in charge. And therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, that these words should be mechazik us during difficult times. And he wrote it clearly in the last few months. And he writes, when the Arab nations seem to be on top, and they seem to have all of taking the talking points, and they're influencing the world around us, and all stand together to wipe us out, and the heart is saddened. But this is only the pinnacle for them before they come crashing down. Yavo adir v'yipar la'adirim, ma'adirim b'mehira v'yameinu amen, he writes. That those people who think that they are on top and they are the one who are running the world, they will fall before us and we'll know who is the real Amalek and who is really in charge of the world. Similar in theme, but a different idea related to Gula. Also, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chavar and Rav Asher Weiss commenting on Echad Miyodea of Tisha Yarchei Leida. Right, we look at, we've asked this question before. If you look at all of the different numbers in Echad Miyodea, they're all unique to the Jewish people. One is Hashem, two Luchos, three Avos, four Imos, five Chamisha Chamishay Torah, six books of the Mishnah, seven is Shabbos, eight is Bris Milah, 10, keep on going up until 30. Tisha Yarchei Leida, 9 months, as long as I checked, I think all nations of the world hold a baby for 9 months. It's not just the Jewish people. Why is that so special? What makes it unique? And in fact, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chavar holds that the whole point of Echad Miyodea is that we're highlighting what has a special kesher between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So why are the 9 months of pregnancy so unique? So they both write the same thing, that the 9 months are not talking about the actual carrying of a child, but rather it refers to Chevlei Mashiach and Gulas Yisrael. The 9 months of carrying and the difficulty of labor, but finally a joyful child at the end of that time. The Navi Yeshayahu says, Ki chala gam yalda tzion espaneha, that Tzion is carrying this child. And the Gullus is compared to a pregnancy. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin, and this is the key point, Sanhedrin tzariches amet aleph. Ben David will not come until the evil Roman kingdom will disperse throughout Eretz Yisrael for 9 months, says the Gemara. 9 months, why? Because, and I'm not speaking from experience, only from what my wife tells me, there are pains and there are difficulties and there are stresses of carrying something like that. But at the end, after all the pain and the difficulty, there's a happy child. There's a gula at the end of that event. And therefore, it's not a coincidence, says Rav Asher Weiss, that the Yom HaChorban is on the 9th of Av. Also 9 as well, referencing the concept of having Tisha Aniyodea, Tisha Yarchei Leida, Shel HaGeula HaShleima, of a complete Geula. And that's what we're highlighting over here, not the 9 months of actual carrying a child in labor, but actually the 9 months of going through Gullus and having a Mashiach and having a Geula at the end of that time. Okay, let's see what I want to do here. Okay, we'll do the thing I definitely want to do first, and if I have time, we'll do the thing I might want to do. Good? Is that fair? Good? Okay. I want to share a different idea on Chag Gadah, not in the style that we've done in the past of kind of laying out the story, and I have some of my favorite ones also in the Haggadah there as well, but I want to give a greater theme also from Rav Pinchas Friedman, the Belzer Dayan, in his Shvilei Pinchas. The Shvilei Pinchas, of Pinchas Friedman, has a very interesting approach to Chag Gadah. It's not, again, in the classical sense of then it was this one, then it was this one, then it was this one, but rather an overarching theme to how we're supposed to approach Chag Gadah. And he says that the purpose of Shibud Mitzrayim, the purpose of the... He says the purpose of Shibud Mitzrayim and the purpose of the going through that time was to remove the zuama, the contamination, the spiritual contamination of the nachash that was infected by the events of Eitz Hadas and infected the Jewish people so they could be mekabel the Torah, as what we refer to as the Kur Har Barzel. As the Maharal writes in his work as well, we had to go through the difficulty, the pain, to kind of get out all of the ichy stuff inside of us and to come out clean after Shibud Mitzrayim. And he explains that the Chag Gadja, as many Haggadahs explain, are referred to B'nai Yisrael compared to the vulnerable goat living peacefully among the 70 wolves around us trying to tear us apart and to devour us. And we are Goy Echad Ba'aretz, Chag Gadja, that one nation that stands with Hashem. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Abba, Tezabin Abba, B'Trei Zuzeh, that our Father took for us, Trei Zuzeh, Nasa V'Nishma. We said Nasa, we said Nishma. In the matter of those two things, Hashem gave us the Torah, and we stand by Hashem. Fine. All the other nefarious characters that are mentioned in Chag Gadja are all evil forces. They're not one particular nation, but they are different kochos in the world, negative things in the world that come to tear us away from our relationship with Hashem. The Medrash says in Tehillim, Lamanatzeach al Hashminis. We say Perek Tehillim on the eight. What are the eight? And the Medrash says the eight different nations in which we would be under Galus, Bavel, and Kastim, Madai, Persia, Greece, Macedonia, Edom, Yishmael, all the different nations that would come against us, all represented in different forms. The stick represents the Midas Hadin that comes to combat B'nai Yisrael. The Zohar says in Parshas Balak that Balak took his stick, Vayicharaf Bilam, Vayach Esa Ason B'makel. The donkey pushes him up against the wall, right? Balak is frustrated. He can't move anywhere because the Malach is in front of him, and he takes his stick. And the Zohar says that Balak wanted to hit B'nai Yisrael with the Midas Hadin, the negative attributes of strict judgment, and he specifically struck the donkey with a stick. Fire represents the enemies of Israel who also want to come and to burn down our two Batei Mikdash. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Shalchu Ba'esh Mikdashecha. They come to try to take away our connection to Hashem with the Beis HaMikdash. The water represents the difficulties of forces of evil that try to drown B'nai Yisrael and try to take us away. It says in David HaMelech, Azai Avar L'Nafshenu Hamayim HaZidonim. The water comes to drown us. Another representation of the negative impulses of the world trying to make a separation between us and Hashem. The ox refers to the damages. There are different types of nezikin and laws of damages. One of them is a shor, arba avos nezikin. And according to the Shla, the four types of damages in halacha are the four categories of klipa, four categories of negative spiritual things that cover up our neshama, that separate us from Hashem. Then comes the butcher, the shochet. He represents his evil forces that want to slaughter the Jewish people, chas v'shalom. The Gemara in Shabbos says that it is dangerous to let blood, if that's still a thing anymore, but to do bloodlettings on Erev Shavuos, because a wind blows on Erev Shavuos, and the name of that wind is Tavuach, which means to slaughter. And had B'nai Yisrael not accepted the Torah, it would have slaughtered them, their flesh and blood. But there's some sort of negative ruach as well in the world that comes to take us away from Hashem and to bring blood and destruction on the Jewish people. And lastly comes the Malach HaMaves, the Satan, also a deadly force that comes to attack the Jewish people again. Not each one trying to necessarily going in order of some historical pattern, but all different negative representations of different kochos in the world that come to tear us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why, then, if these are all different negative kochos, ask for Pinchas Freeman, why does the Paitan, why does the poet depict them as attacking each other, right? Why are they not all coalescing together and say, hey guys, we all hate the Jews, let's get together, let's work this out, you take this part, I'll take that part, we'll come up with a plan, and we'll finish them up. Why does it depict them going after one each other? This one putting up this one attacking the other one. How come that's the construct? So he quotes in the Yalkut of Yisrael, quoting Rav Chaim Meir Yechiel, one of the rebbes, who explains the famous introduction to Maggid. That they stood against us, not only one to come to wipe us out, and Hashem saved us from their hands. There's an amazing Gemara in Masachas Pesachim. The Gemara says, in the end of the ninth parakh of Pesachim, Amar Rav Oshia, Mai Dechsev, what does it say? Tzidkas Pizrono B'Yisrael. That it was Hashem's righteousness that he scattered the Jewish people. That seems to be gullus. What's so amazing about that? That we're scattered.
Sidka asa kadosh baruch hu b'Yisrael shepizran bein ha'omos. That Hashem did us a kindness that He scattered us amongst the nations and not all have us in one place in Galus. The reason why the nations of the world cannot exterminate us as much as they may want to is because of the chesed Hashem. If we were all in one place, it would be easier to attack us. But by keeping us throughout other countries, the Jewish people are able to run, to survive, and to hide, and to find refuge in other locations. He also creates enmity and division amongst our enemies. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Pizur l'rishayim hanalahen v'hanali l'olam. It is the separation, the spreading out of the Goyim are good for them, and it's good for the Jewish people, because they're less likely to provoke each other to do the wrong thing. And therefore, says the O of Yisrael, this is the interpretation of the introduction to Maggid. V'hi sham d'lav aseinu v'lanu, that which stood for us and our forefathers, is that we were not dispersed among one nation who could destroy us. Shlo echad bilvad amalach aseinu. The best thing Hashem did for us is that we were not echad. We were not all in one place that we could be destroyed. Rather, we're dispersed. The way Hashem saved us is that we were dispersed and we were not all in one location. So we were able to survive the different exiles and the different people who would come to attack the Jewish people. So says the Maor V'Shemesh, another Rebbe, that the events of Migdal Bavel, the events of the dispersion of the Tower of Bavel, were all in place in order to prepare us for Galus. That's how far back Hashem was preparing us. All the way by Migdal Bavel. Why did Hashem cause Migdal Bavel to happen? So that each people would go and go to a different place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His infinite rachamim and His love for Klal Yisrael created divisions and differences among the nations. The French like this and the Germans like that. And the Australians are like this. And the people in Belgium are like over here. And the people in Tanzania are over here. They're all different. Why are they all different? Different cultures, backgrounds, value systems. The reason is because it was everyone who tried to come to attack us. If they are all of one mindset, they would get together. In fact, that was the goal of Nimrod. Nimrod wanted to build a tower. Why? And then he tried again to build everybody together unto him in the days of Avram Avinu. Why did he try to do all this? Because he wanted to unify again. The only way he could come to attack HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything he stands for is if they stand unified in their fight against Hashem. And that's the message here of the Paitan. All of the forces portrayed in the Piyut, from the cat all the way down to the Malach HaMaves, represent evil forces in the world that despise and hate the Jewish people. And miraculously, they never, ever came together. Each one is trying to attack the other one. Each one hates the other one. Nobody gets along, and they can't figure out what to do. But if they could figure out what to do, it would be bad news for the Jews. It is the brach of Hashem, it is the racham of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the nations of the world cannot get together. And the cat and the dog attacks the cat, and the stick attacks the dog, and nobody can get along. And that's the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one knocking the other one off, one by one. And that's the miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this particular galus. Listen to the words of the Chassam Sofer. Yesh lomar, ki miderech ha-tzadikim liyos pa'achtus gamor. It is the way of tzadikim to have achtus. That doesn't need any explaining. That we can understand. V'az kinos le-tzadikim hana lahem v'na la'olam. And when tzadikim get together, it's good for them, and it's good for the world. And when tzaddikim get together, it causes rishayim to be separated. When we have unity, it causes them to be disparate. And the opposite in ways. When they get together, it causes us to move apart. You're not allowed to sit together. This is why Esther goes and tells Mordechai, Leich knos kol ha-Yehudim b'shushan. Go and gather the Jews together. Why? Because Esther was horrified by one thing above everything else, and that was that Haman and Achashverosh got together and were having a nice party. That was very disturbing. Because when our enemies get together and they work together, that's damaging for the Jewish people. So what's the antidote when we see our enemies ganging up and nations coming together against the Jewish people? We get together. Because when tzaddikim get together, Hashem forces the other nations to move apart. The entire Piyut focuses on the miracles of a Kadosh Baruch Hu performing on behalf of Klal Yisrael. All of these eight regimes, all these different nations wanted to devour the Chad Gadja. They wanted to come and take us out. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu separated them and prevented them from uniting exclusively in the merit of our unity, from Matan Torah, because we said, Naaseh V'nishma. Now it all sits together. Chad Gadja, Abin Zam Bitre Zuze. Our father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, took us together, this one nation. And what keeps us together? Naaseh V'nishma. We were together, Yishachad B'Lev and Har Sinai. And that's what keeps us, that unity, what keeps us from all the nations coming to devour us, generation after generation, having that unity together over time. There's a very nice comment from Rav Victor Miller in a new Haggadah that was published this year as well. Rav Victor Miller on the Haggadah. Not the most dramatic title, but it works. So he makes the following comments. I'll read from what he says. He asks, why Chad Gadja is sung in this manner? We will repeat the stanzas again and again. Why just not skip to the last piece and say, you know, cat, dog, stick, water, da, 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 all the end? Why does it have to be like the house that Jack built? Why do we have to say it in such a way where you go back and say each one again? Listen to what he says. He says, the cat came and devoured the goat and the kid, then the dog who devoured the cat, and so on. That is the procession of nations. First one conquers, and then the other conquers, and one by one, the great conquer nations go down in the dust and disappear. But there is something odd about the Jewish people. Even though they are supposedly consumed, the Chad Gadja keeps cropping up at the end of every stanza. We are still around. We don't say about the great nations, the cat, we don't say Chad Shunra, because they're not here anymore. The Shunra is finished. V'asa kalva v'nashach l'shunra. That's the end of the Shunra. But the Chad Gadja keeps on getting repeated. At the end, we will be that. The Malach HaMavis will come and destroy all the nations, and all the nations will get what is coming to them. And finally, Kadosh Baruch Hu will tell the Malach HaMavis to retire from business. And the Chad Gadja, that is his people, will finally be restored. Not that the Malach HaMavis is killed, but that he says, Hashem, we don't need you anymore. You did your job. You did what you're supposed to do. Malach HaMavis, you can go to a nice shady retirement place and you can go somewhere else. And the fact that we're still around, we see that ourselves, we don't need Chad Gadja to tell us that. Here we are still around, so although every nation is now lying under the dust, we are still around walking on top of their dust, so the refrain that you sing each time reminds us that Chad Gadja, we are not finished off, and we are still around. Okay?